For those fortunate enough to help the person who has always been their hero, find the care guides you need to help at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This is your tech news briefing for Monday, March 16th. I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal. More and more tech companies are pushing into health data. They argue that it makes health information more accessible for patients. But privacy advocates have raised concerns. Officials in the U.S. have now introduced new rules to govern how that information is used and protected. Our reporter Melanie Evans will tell us all about them. But first, depending on where you live, you might be in your second or third week of working from home. If you're used to working in an office, this work from home thing can get pretty lonely. And that's not just you. That's according to science. Here's our tech columnist, Christopher Mims, who works from home all the time.
When we talk to other people face to face, we release various hormones and neurotransmitters that make us feel good, like oxytocin and dopamine. And strangely, or not so strangely, we don't release those when we are talking to people in some kind of mediated communication.
But Chris says there are steps you can take, and he should know, to reduce those feelings of loneliness.
I think one of the challenges that we have in our society is it's so easy to distract ourselves, it's so easy to reach out, that we have gotten out of the habit of being satisfied with our own company, with embracing solitude, with going for a walk, with thinking our own thoughts and feeling our own emotions, whether they are positive or negative, and letting them pass through us. So really what I'm talking about is mindfulness. And I think the way that we achieve it is simply by accepting that we are going to be a lot lonelier during this period of social distancing, and not trying to overcompensate by going on the internet more.
That's a pretty good tip. After the break, reporter Melanie Evans will join us to tell us all about new federal guidelines that are standardizing the rules for tech companies who want to keep track of your health data.
We see breakthrough medicines getting to patients in record time. At Emerson, when issues become inspiration, creating a better world isn't just a result, it's a responsibility. Emerson, consider it solved.
Last year, the Wall Street Journal uncovered a massive effort by Google to manage the health data of thousands of Americans without their knowledge. They called the program Project Nightingale. More recently, we reported that Google was sidestepping requests from lawmakers for more information about that project. But Google isn't the only tech company that's been pushing into health data lately. Apple, Microsoft, and others also have initiatives in this space. Last week, the federal government introduced new rules to govern how they handle that data. Our reporter Melanie Evans joins us now to tell us about those rules. Melanie, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, Melanie, tell us about these new rules. What exactly do they change?
So they do a couple of things. First, they set some technical standards for how data can be shared between hospital record systems and electronic health record software and app developers that may be trying to create something that a consumer, for example, would use to track their diabetes. So there are these very, very technical standards that the rule kind of lays out. It also sort of sets some ground rules for when that data must be shared and how quickly, and just kind of sets a few exceptions for when the data can be held back.
I mean, new regulations always sound like a great thing for the public and for consumers, but there's actually been a lot of pushback from privacy advocates about these rules. What specifically are their concerns?
Absolutely. So this data is the most personal it can get, right? These are, if it were my record, it's a history of all of my medical diagnoses and the visits to my doctor and the notes that my doctor took about that visit, any prescriptions I have, lab results. Increasingly, it could also include genetic information, which would be relevant information about me, but also family members. So it's like deeply, deeply personal. And there are federal laws right now that govern the kind of the privacy and security of that data. Here's the issue. This new rule makes it easier to share that data outside of hospitals, doctor's offices, and insurance companies, and maybe some of their subcontractors. which means that the federal privacy laws that apply to healthcare data basically don't cover these new actors that are now sort of like able to kind of access and mine and ingest all of this new data. So there was absolutely a pushback from, particularly from hospital systems, about the risks that individual patients might be taking when they enable an app to access their records, their personal records. One of the compromises in the new rules was a provision that essentially allows a hospital or doctor to kind of flag the privacy and security provisions of any app that may be pulling data out of their records. So if I'm a consumer and I've got a new app and I want it to go into my medical records and pull some information out, my doctor could sort of enable a little sort of warning that says, hey, by the way, this app doesn't have a privacy policy, or this app under their policies is allowed to sell your data.
That sounds like a lot of responsibility to be putting on doctors, to be knowing what apps have what privacy policies and then taking the step to flag that to their patients.
So I understand that there is like a discussion about like how that will work. And some of it involves when the app essentially knocks on the door of the data, there is the possibility that at that moment, hospitals could sort of ask some questions and hoover up some data that they could use when they sort of flag these privacy provisions to patients. Now, that the rule does not allow a hospital. So say the app has no privacy policy, they're going to sell everything and they're going to post it on a website. The hospital or health system actually has no, they still have to share it. So if I, the consumer, say none of those things matter to me, go ahead and share my data, the hospital cannot say no, they have to share it. So if you're a consumer, what was sort of said was from proponents of the rule that the consumers would have to be cognizant and careful. Speaking from my own experience, when I read, like when I get like the little button that says, here are the terms of use, I read them quickly. I don't always understand them. And so it begs the question, like, how clearly will these kind of new warnings be articulated?
Right now, accessing your own medical data can be very tricky and difficult. Doctors have paper records in their offices. If you need to take your information from one doctor to a specialist to another specialist, it can be very difficult. So what's the benefit for consumers? And is tech trying to solve a need, not just for big data or for pharma, but maybe even for consumers?
So yes, this is one issue that was like frequently like raised when public policymakers and consumer groups talked about this new rule, which is that right now it is very difficult to get information from like one place to another. If I'm a patient and I may want a second opinion, and getting the information I need for a second opinion can be labor intensive and frustrating, and it can take time. And so there are definitely apps in the marketplace that right now are trying to be the place where you or I could hold all of our information so that we could take it from one place to another without like just this kind of bizarre, frustrating experience of trying to collect it across multiple locations and extract it from multiple software systems. So there is definitely an advantage that consumer groups have applauded.
So it is kind of on the consumer on both ends, both to use these apps wisely and to read the fine print, sounds like. Reporter Melanie Evans, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely.
And that was your Tech News Briefing. Don't forget that if you like this podcast, you can rate and review us in your app store. Do you have ideas about what we should be covering? Why don't you send us a DM on Twitter, WSJ Podcasts. I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.